What's up, guys? This is Uriah Faber, the California Kid, here with Greg Conley, serial entrepreneur, founder of Trifecta Nutrition. We're talking about everything under the sun, fitness, entertainment, and of course, business, making that money.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Greg Conley. I'm here with Uriah Faber and Brooke Entz, and we're going to be talking about pretty much anything, but occasionally business, nutrition, fitness, the stuff that the three of us are into and do with 90% of our time, other than when we're talking about killing people in airports, which is
you guys just missed that. That was a good conversation.
Probably not the greatest.
Brooke's
podcast
not
material.
As sweet as she looks. We'll just say that.
Bill Burr. Yeah. Bill Burr has some great ideas.
Yeah, she's got a cruise ship bombing plan. So yeah, I guess you know. Want to circle back to the Wonder Woman and Justice League, and for you, Rampage Uriah conversation. So both.
Ooh,
of you
I don't
are,
think we can talk about that yet.
Oh, really? So it's under the covers. We'll delete.
Let
that
me
part
ask
out.
Somebody.
Yeah, shoot a text. I mean, obviously, both of you are starting to get into acting, which is a big change in direction for both of you. And yeah, just. Want to hear more about what's coming up in Wonder Woman and Justice League, and I think the cat's out of the bag on both of those. So
yeah, Wonder Woman, I know that I'm in contract for multiple movies. They really needed this first one to do well, or there would definitely not be any more. And it's done
which
very
it did.
Well.
Huge
yeah.
hit.
So now, I mean, I just kind of wait for the phone call, you know, if they want to bring me back. I'll be ready to go.
So I don't. I'm not up to date on it. Were you actually Wonder Woman?
No, I wish. No, I was an Amazon. So Wonder Woman has her.
I should have known.
I know her mom, Hippolyta, and her sister is like the most fierce warrior of Amazon that's ever lived, and she's kind of in charge of all the warriors. That like, if something were to happen, we would protect the house.
Got it.
And so I kind of hang out with her. I'm her crew. We're the Antiope crew, and then you had the Queen's Guard, who's sort of Hippolyta's crew. And yeah, just an Amazon. I mean, we had, when I first went to, so I was in Europe quite a bit last year filming. So we were in London for a little over a month just doing training. We all had dialect coaches. And then we shipped off to Italy to film for a month. And a lot of it was just, we didn't really know what was happening until right before, you know. And also because we're not working on a green screen, everything is based on like if they get the shot. So we would be ready every day. I'm like in the makeup chair 6 a.m. So I'd go to the gym before that. I'd get up because I was training to hopefully qualify for the games again. And so I'd get up about like 4:30. We'd go get coffee. We'd go to the gym, do something for like 45 minutes, rinse off, sit in the makeup chair, get ready, be in full costume, be on set. Majority of the time, we didn't do anything until... Sometimes we didn't do anything, you know? So we're like on set waiting till, you know, 5 o'clock at night, end up not doing anything. Or they pull us in at like 4 and we stand and do the scene. And then we do all the different camera angles. And then we would go de-rig about 7. I'd go straight to the gym, train for an hour.
The double days.
Yeah. And then we would go to dinner. And we all lived in this like, it was like a little village. And everyone who's working the
that's
movie.
That's what they call it, actually. Everyone involved with the village.
They're the
like,
village.
Move the village.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually like the little term. Like
the industry term.
Yeah, the apples.
The
when
village.
They need somebody to step on the, like, I get apples all the time because that's what they give to short guys when they want you to look a little bit taller.
Nice.
Can we get a half apple? Can we get double apple?
I will say, surprising enough, I had to stand on a pedestal because some of the girls that were playing Amazons with me were all very tall.
Oh, really?
I was probably the shortest person there.
Huh.
Which I was completely surprised by, because in like my sport, I'm one of the tallest.
Really?
Yeah, or like average.
Huh.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm actually curious, since we were talking about this before we started filming. I mean, it had to detract a little bit from Wonder Woman, the fact that you're like way more shredded than Wonder Woman. I mean, you got to be
like, wait a second, wait, which one has the superpowers again? Is it the skinny girl or the one that looks like a superhero?
Yeah, I mean,
I
don't know. I
mean,
gotta
I've definitely got a lot of, I mean, super flattering for one. A lot of compliments of like, you know, we wish that you would have been that person, you would have played that role. And like what I have to try and remind people of too is like, yeah, me too. but they also need all of these people to be able to act. Yeah. You know, and unfortunately, just because you're a good athlete or you look the part doesn't mean you can act. But I will say, I'm taking acting classes, so.
There you go.
She's like Wonder Woman 3.
In the right direction.
After she dies, you move in and take over.
I'm committed to becoming Lady Thor. Thor does become a woman in the comics, so.
Really?
Phone call. Yeah.
That did not know that.
I didn't either. They told me that when I was over in the movie because everyone was convinced that I needed to quit my day job being a CrossFit athlete and try to get into all these superhero movies.
Yeah, because I have to admit that that Wonder Woman picture of you in the full Amazon outfit was the best Instagram post we've ever done. It got like 780,000 impressions. It was absolutely ridiculous, which is a lot for, you know, obviously a brand our size. So
is that the one on the beach?
No.
Okay.
That's the one the CrossFit Games posted.
It was the one on the beach.
Yeah, I know. We'll pull it up on the
Well, it's just on the one on the beach is funny because
let me see this. Yeah, I'll be the judge of these girls.
Pull the Instagram up. Yeah. No, I mean it was a sick picture and people lost their minds over it.
The funniest part is like I am a like open mouth smiler, like laughing a lot, right? And in this photo, everyone's like, "Brooke, are you laughing?"
There's our girl Paige Van Zandt.
Yep, she's in the feed recently, but yeah, it was definitely by
pretty,
far.
Oh,
there it is.
Oh, there
it right
is.
There.
Okay,
yeah,
that's me
that.
And my friend Anne Harrod. She is from Wales.
She's tiny.
Yeah, she. What
she is. I am for
like
sure the tallest person there.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
Yeah, that is.
It's nuts. So this whole movie thing is, I was just on set for the first time on a big budget, and I mean it's wild, all the stuff that they have in place. It's like you have everyone has their role and it's unioned, and so like you can't, if there's a microphone that needs to be messed with, like no one can touch the microphone except for the microphone person, and there's like somebody whose job is this and somebody whose job is that, and like people are real territorial.
Mm-hmm.
And they said like it's funny, she said the village, we were like staying in this village, but they called it. I was like sitting with the producers and like picking their brains and whatnot, and they're saying, all right, let's move the village. And that means, I mean, it really is more like a circus. But yeah, it's like, okay, you take there's people who are in charge of just the catering, and then there's person who's in charge of the bathrooms, and there's person in charge of this and charge of that. And then they've all had their assistants, and you've got the main DP, the director of photography, and then he's got his own assistant that holds the camera when he's not filming. And it's like on and on and on. It's such a layered thing. And I was talking to the producers about the budget. I'm like, how often do you guys, they don't try to stay under the budget. I was like, you know, I would think, you know, when you're building a house, which is something that I've done before, you want to stay on, like, you get under the budget, that's great. And the producers are like, no, if we go under the budget, then we have to like answer, like, why did you go under budget? So they try to use every dollar. Like they had a stuntman with me for 10 days, dress up the same way, get the same stuff done to him and sit there, and he only did one day of work, but they had budgeted for
just
a stunt
to have him
guy.
There. Yeah,
so it's
crazy.
Like, I mean, it's like state work, like times 20 million. It's
you
crazy.
Tell me you don't do your own stunts then.
Nope. Well, it wasn't up to me. I would.
No, it's true. That's happened with us. So when we were over there, especially me being an athlete and a few of us, my girlfriend Madeline, she's from Sweden. All of us were kind of, I guess, picked out to come in and play these roles, and all of us came from a pretty athletic background, and we loved the stunt part. You know, we wanted to do that, but you can't. Same thing. You can't like
can't
step on something.
They can't risk
you. Can't take someone's job. No, it's like you can't take someone else's job.
It was someone else's job. They could file. They could sue you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They have to have stunt people for every single person.
I mean, I know like
unless
Stallone,
it was like in the deal, like you know, and they never got someone for you because you were gonna do it. That was part of the deal, but.
Yeah, so that's like it's crazy. So they have like a producer, then they have a line producer. The line producer is in charge of saying what the budget is going to be, and that's what their job is. So if they screw up that, they'll get in trouble. Like, why did your line producer say it was going to be $130 million film, but you only use $119 million? Then there's like, oh great, we saved $10 million. No, that's the line producer's ass.
Yeah.
Like, you fucked up, bro.
Yeah. You should have had extra stunt people and a light bulb guy on site. Yeah.
And so they're like, hey, well, all right, well, let's just spend it. You know, we've got our makeup person. Let's do this. Let's do that. They make sure they use that every single dollar and hit the mark.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How long did makeup take for you during Wonder Woman? Because I've heard some of those early setups are, I mean, you guys didn't
nothing
have
nothing was super elaborate. I mean, all of us, all the hair, everything's is wig mm-hmm. or added. Like an hour and a half, maybe.
Oh, so still a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
Not like 6 hours though.
But well, when we started having to do like spray tans, we're getting tanned like almost every day.
As you go,
it was disgusting. This is so disgusting. Our hands and our feet.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, and like not in that outfit, in a different one, we had like a corset that was tied around, and it was on the armor, mm-hmm. but it was like this plastic. And when we were in Italy, when we were in Matera, it was so hot, and we just would sweat all day. And they'd take it off at night, and we were fully green. Like, it had, like, changed us colors.
Dude, those spray tans, that's an issue. If you go to, like, the people watching Mecca is going to one of these, like, Arnold Classics or one of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And those, I mean, it looks bizarre. It looks like you're in an alien world. Like, everyone's got creases in the wrong mm-hmm. spots and, like, dark spots. And, like, it's like, well, at what point did this become, like, the most attractive way to do this fitness competition? And then the hotels have a big problem because it ruins all the sheets, ruins all the blankets, they stain the floor. And it just happened at our gym. Somebody came in with a spray tan, and I've got all my gym's all clean cut. It's like gray and whites and everything, and somebody came with a spray tan and just stained the whole mat. It's been like 2 weeks now with a big brown stain on the mat. It's not good.
I know there was that fight a few days ago too.
Shit happens.
Yeah,
that poor girl. She said that.
Who was it again?
She's a girl from. I think she's from Denmark or something. Really sweet girl. I was on the Ultimate Fighter when she was, Coach Pettis was her coach, and I went on as a guest coach. She was the nicest girl. Always had trouble making weight and things mm-hmm. like that. Was dealing with injuries. She said, but she shit herself. I mean, about bad for the brand. Yeah. All the way around. I mean, that's not going to be something that she lives down. But she wore it.
Yeah.
She sent out a tweet. I just saw the tweet.
Yeah. She said,
and it was like, hey, thanks for the support. Shit happens. Ha ha.
#. Shit happens.
You've got to. If you can make fun of yourself first.
Yeah, you gotta be into the punch
just
in that front.
Just accept it.
No, that's
Of all people to have that happen, a cute young girl, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is what it is. Defying stereotypes.
Yep, exactly. No, that's what MMA and CrossFit are both all about. Yeah. You know,
it's women like the and amount men. Of women that I've seen like pee their pants in like a max lift.
Really?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many of those have had kids?
The ones that I've seen have not had kids.
Really?
Yes, and it's literally amazing. There was one time, I won't even name names.
Go for it.
All right. We were at the ECC. It was in Boston a few years ago, and Hook Grip was there because they were doing all the photos. Mm-hmm. So the whole platform was set up with lights so you could get these slow motion photos and the whole, all the video and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. Lauren Fisher, she was up. And the light hit it in such a way
that it was like beautiful.
It was like full.
It was a fountain.
It was a full stream, and I kept thinking, like, how are your shorts? How is it coming through your shorts like that fast?
This was like Oli platform stuff, or during
Oli platform?
It was beautiful. Like,
everything's dark. You're spotlit, and all the athletes are on the side because there's one person at a time, and Lindsay Valenzuela had to lift after, and they hadn't cleaned up the platform.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. And which
holy
happens,
piss.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a crazy side to Olympic lifting.
And
like
I didn't realize that. Like, I obviously thought, you know, if you've had children, mm-hmm. that would make sense. Like, most women that I know that have had kids, like, whenever we're doing double unders or box jumps or whatever, it becomes a problem. But I've met quite a few girls that do not have kids, and
letting it go.
You know, I guess you just... You're hanging on to so much that you gotta relax somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
you got your abs, everything's all locked up. Yeah.
I just like the, I mean, there's, everything's about perception, right? You're a good mm-hmm. sales guy. You understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have made that a beautiful situation that just happened. She steps out on the stage. Here she comes. She steps out on the stage, muscles rippled. As she grabs the weight. Flies it over her head. A beautiful stream of fluid descends from her body. Or you could just say, "Oh, she pissed herself."
That's crazy.
I happens. Think it was a beautiful thing. The way I envisioned it was beautiful.
No, yeah,
you, a little music.
You played it up with the lights and everything. I saw the same thing. I was like, "Yeah, it seems legit." It's,
yeah, we should maybe add that to the event.
Nice.
Hey, we had something in college. It was called the Beer Olympics, and we had all these different roles. You had to have, there's a 4-man team. You had one girl on the team. There was like, you know, you drink out of a fishbowl with big straws. You had a flip cup competition. You had a beer bong competition. You had all these different things, and it was only redheaded refs. So every ref there, they were there. They're all bright redhead, just because redheads are special. And then there was a vomiting for extra points. So if you had to vomit, you could run up to the line and up chuck, and it was for distance. And so that was extra points on top of it. So, I mean, I don't think a little peeing
pee
on
for
it.
Distance.
Peeing for,
pee
you know.
Pee for distance.
I think it'd be, I don't know if it's for distance. I think it may be like.
Maybe arch.
The arch. Or just, like, how did you do it? Like, get people creative, you know?
So with that, you've got to tell us the craziest thing that's happened in the last, I mean, because this is an epic movement for you to move from the first gym to the second gym.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any crazy stuff like that happen in the original gym?
Nothing with bodily fluids or anything like that. But there's been, I mean, it has been a growing in process. We've got, you know, a brand new facility. It's 20,000 square feet. And we're going from 8,500 square feet, which was a nice facility at its time, but it's been years and years and years of mm-hmm. just
beating,
you know,
it up, yeah.
Getting beat up and the sport changing, et cetera. So we haven't had anything too crazy. We did have Clay Guida, who just fought last night. He fought a big fight, had a big win. He wanted to go in the sauna, and so just little mishaps. So we had, you know, the fire sprinklers, which is a huge hassle to get that all up to par and up to code and get the plan submitted, et cetera. And there's one fire sprinkler in the sauna, and which is fine, but you have to have it set to a certain temperature for the thing can go up to 200 degrees or whatever without busting and setting off
spraying
all
everybody.
Fire sprinklers,
yeah.
Right? So I'm actually on a helicopter hog hunt with Chad Mendez in Texas.
Amazing.
Which
amazing.
Yeah. It's which was
nice,
nuts.
Nice little Saturday.
For his fins and feathers, and I'm sitting out there, we're like just chilling in the middle of nowhere, and I get a text from my right hand man, Tommy, and he's like, "We're screwed. The sauna set off the sprinklers, everything's soaked. The Dollar Tree's next door, it's all soaked," which is like a big facility. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to pay for all the Dollar Tree, all our new facility. Like the whole sprinklers went off and the whole thing. He's like, "There's inches of water everywhere." It's like, "We're fucked, dude. We're fucked." And I'm like, I had like about a 5-minute, then I'm trying to call him. He's not answering. I finally get a hold of him. I go, "What's going on?" He goes, "Dude, we're screwed, man. I got to go. But like the whole place is flooded. The Dollar Tree's flooded and blah, blah." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm just thinking like, I just spent all this money building this new facility, and like I'm gonna be, this bill is gonna be nuts. It's gonna be a very, very tough situation." So I'm like, damn, I'm like calling people, trying to get a hold of people, like texting other people, "What the heck's going on?" It turns out Tommy, who's calling me with this, wasn't there. He's getting, it's like the
telephone.
The telephone thing where you say something and it goes to one person's ear and they say it, and by the end it's a whole different thing. And so it turns out, we get there, or I get on the phone with him. He's like, "Okay, so only thing that happened is the sprinkler went off in the dry sauna, and the guys that did the tile forgot to take out the drains in the sauna and in the upstairs locker room."
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know how to shut the thing off, so it started flooding in the sauna, which went into the men's and women's locker room, and the drains weren't working, so it went out into the hallway and then went down the stairs and everything else. So it had like a little waterfall happening, but a little bit of our space is shared with the Dollar Tree, like above. So it got a little bit in their break room. And, you know, it was no damage. Just had to dry everything up and pull the plugs out and
put
a new thing in.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am thinking, I was like, it was like $1 million thing that just happened. They're going to shut us down and all this stuff. And it
the
turns out the true story
in.
Was like, no, I just had to towel it up. It was unfortunate. It was on a Saturday. No one was really there. And that was the worst thing that's happened so far. And,
of all.
And it was all like, you know, basically crying wolf, which was a nice thing to find out. But there's about 10 minutes where I thought I was really in deep trouble.
So how did the hog hunt end? Did you end up Landing the hog. Hunt.
So I'm not a big hunter myself, but I'm supportive of my guy Chad. He loves to hunt, and on his behalf, and people who don't like killing animals, hogs are taking over Texas. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. It's like seriously, like a 6-month-old hog can have 64 babies within a year. It can start at 6 months and have 64 babies, and so
they're like rabbits.
They're taking over Texas, and they're ruining they're messing with the ecosystem, and they're taking like millions of dollars of crops from these farmers, and so it's a real issue. So they do this hog hunt, and I went up in the helicopter, but didn't really shoot any, but you know, you see hogs everywhere. They're just ruining things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was pretty crazy, man. We had a good time. It was a lot of fun. I also went bow fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we go at night with these hillbilly dudes, and they're like, hey, okay, you know, they're like telling you how to shoot these fish. Like, you can spot and identify all these fish in the dark. Like, oh, that's a catfish. Don't shoot that. Oh, that's a this. Don't do that. Okay, get that one. And then you're like shooting bows through fish. That's it was about as redneck as I've been in a very long time.
Nice.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
No, you ever hunt?
I do. I grew up hunting. I didn't hunt. I never actually took my hunter safety, but my entire family are big hunters. Yeah.
Was nice. That like a cover-up? Like you actually did hunt, but then you realized you didn't have your hunter safety?
No. Okay. No, I would love to get my hunter safety. We would go deer hunting quite a bit. My dad, you know, he bow hunts, black powder, does all of it. And
what's black powder?
Like a black powder rifle. Oh. So you gotta work for it.
It's a good old girl. Yeah. I had no clue what that meant.
Yeah.
Did
you? Impressive. No, I didn't know.
So either. My job, I mean, I went up, I was the only girl that went. It was all my grandpa, all my uncles, all the boys, and we rode. So we would take the horses up the mountain. And when they would all get ready to shoot, I held all the horses. That was my thing.
Nice.
Yeah, and I was
she had a little accent when she said that was my thing.
I get a little country. My dad's redneck. My family is definitely redneck.
That's nice. Awesome. No, I mean, it's true about the animals, though. I mean, people ask us on the food because we started carrying game meats. You know, we got bison and elk and venison and stuff like that. And, you know, for venison, like the first hunter season will hit in like Illinois, and you'll see in the newspaper, they're like, oh, week one, they took 750,000 deer. And you're like, oh my God, they're going to wipe out all the deer. It's about to be game over for deer. They're going extinct. And that's like 1/10,000th of their population. Like they breed so incredibly quickly, and we've like wiped out all of the predators like mountain lions that deer are just like everywhere. They're just getting mowed down on the highway, and there's just so many millions more that you know, it's like the hogs. They have to do, you know, something to keep the population under control. Otherwise it gets ridiculous.
Right.
And I mean, same with bison. Bison's made a full recovery because people started eating bison, you know. They're not, you know, wiped out like they used to be. So it's crazy. So yeah, I guess on the we should probably talk about some more informational stuff.
I want to ask Brooke some things.
Yeah. No, fire away.
Because I'm pretty new to the whole CrossFit world and everything. Mm-hmm. But first off, for you as a CrossFitter, how'd you get involved with CrossFit? And then, at what point did you realize that this was like kind of a career thing that you could do, where you're becoming your own brand, where you're, you know, seeing some real money and something that becomes like a part of like your business and your life, not just a passion? Like, was that something you knew ahead of time?
No.
So how did it happen? What's your story? I have no idea. So
okay.
I'm curious.
Well, I was
great.
A modern dance major at the University of Utah.
Modern dance?
Yeah.
That sounds weird. Just saying. I just picture doing some weird, like, creative things.
Yeah, it gets weird. It does get weird. So I grew up dancing. I did musical theater until I went to college. That was my sport. I played softball. I swam on the swim team. I did gymnastics, but none of that really stuck. I was invited to audition for La Rev, which is a show in Vegas. I was preparing to go and do that, but I also learned that they had to do a lot of sort of gymnastic things and, like, skin the cats and climbing ropes and things I hadn't really done.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been very athletic. And a friend of mine hooked me up with a buddy who had just opened a gym in St. George, Utah, Dixie CrossFit. And I went in there and gave it a try for the first time. And it was awesome. It was awful, to be completely honest. But right after that, I moved to LA.
That's a big difference. Awesome and awesome.
Well, you know,
it was awesome, awful.
It kicks your ass, but it's really hard. Yeah.
Before that, I've always been had a very athletic build, and I've been like the athletic dancer. So like I knew which dance companies I could dance for, and I knew all the ones I couldn't just because of the way I looked. And a girl came and taught a class, a kickboxing class at our dance studio, and she was Miss Utah for fitness. And so I did my first figure show. They didn't have fitness at the time, so I did a figure show. And the reason it was so awesome, CrossFit, is because I grew up playing sports and being very active. Mm-hmm. And I liked the fact that I looked like an athlete and that I performed like one. And it was training me to perform like an athlete versus just look like I'm really, really strong and athletic. And it's awful because if you are competitive and you like the intensity, it hurts to get fit. It's not easy. It's very painful. It's painful mm-hmm. on your lungs, painful on your body, but the payoff is awesome. And I started doing CrossFit. I moved to LA for the summer and I was dancing out there, and then I moved back home and Ute CrossFit had just opened and I started doing CrossFit there. But it wasn't until, so that was in
2010. Old were you at that time?
Okay. That was in 2010. I'm 27 right now. I turned 28 in August of this year. I was on their team in 2011, went to regionals. And after that, I mean, I was always a very strong athlete, but I didn't want to suffer. So I wasn't quite ready to compete on an individual level. And it wasn't until 2013 I decided, I mean, I was living in California. I was coaching full time. I was working at a coffee shop. I sort of had felt like everything I grew up doing and everything that I could have sworn that I was meant to do was just off the table, which was anything to do with entertainment. I performed. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. And
that's what you wanted to do.
That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to be on Broadway. Uh-huh. That was my thing.
The original.
Yes. And
well, you're kind of going at it from a different angle now with the acting. Maybe it'll come full circle.
I would have loved to be dancing every day, but where I lived, there wasn't a lot of great adult classes. I wasn't in LA. I wasn't in San Francisco. You know, and it's like paying for gas to drive here and there. And so I started decided, I was at the CrossFit Games. I had been doing it, but pretty casually, and I just sort of decided to commit for a year. And I would commit for a year to training. I would do exactly what my coach told me. I trained by myself for a year, and I would just see what happened. So I went to regionals as my first time as an individual in 2014. I won the first event, and then I ended up finishing sixth. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot better than expected. And other than that, I just kind of, you get into this routine of your training and it becomes so priority, and you know, 6 days a week and everything, all arrows are pointing to this end goal of, like, for me it was regionals, and I just kept doing that. And along the way with me, I think just being myself and meeting a lot of people and training and getting better and being an athlete, it sort of started to just kind of push me into a position where I was building my own brand and I was creating this platform. And it was a platform which I'm very proud of because it's never been on anything other than who I actually am. Mm-hmm. And I get mm-hmm. so irritated by, like, coming across, like, Instagram famous people that I'm like, who the fuck are you? Yeah. Like, who are you?
Or, yeah, like, what, or, like, every what do you picture
do for
is
anybody,
like,
in this world? Like, what are you doing? Are you doing anything to help kids? Are you doing anything to help adults? Like, I can do that too. I think sexy photos are fucking awesome, okay? But I'm also like, I can teach a class. I can teach people nutrition. I can motivate little kids to, you know, do things that I've now learned that I could have done differently. Or, you know, there's so much more power in it. And it's been like a natural progression for me. And now I'm just like ready to just take over the world.
Go to the next level.
That's absolutely. Awesome. And I feel like, especially like little girls, I feel like CrossFit has kind of gone hand in hand with like the, you know, the strength and beauty movement. You know, it's like kind of fundamentally shifted the view of women in general. Like, it's been a massive culture shift that
I absolutely love the amount of parents that are messaging me constantly, like dads that are like, they want to thank me for being someone that their daughters can look up to. And
they're really trying to, that's called the foot in the door technique. I've done the same thing.
But I will say, I do love being able to be motivation for young girls or someone that can be a positive, have a positive effect on them. But little boys, I've had like young boys, like ages 5, like I had a mom message me the other day that was like, you know, her 5-year-old, he loves CrossFit, does it all the time. And he was watching The Fittest and he told his mom that maybe one day she might be lucky and be able to be as fit as me. And I'm his favorite athlete. I've had like young boys come up and ask me about, like, tell me that they wanted to look like me and they wanted to know how I was eating and training so they could look like me one day. And in that industry, what I've really started to notice is there is just so much women and men are on such an equal playing field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we understand we're different, yeah, right? But it's just, people just don't think about it the way, like when I, you know, was in the movie and I go into these communities that I haven't been a part of and I have to like rethink like, okay, yeah, it's not always the same. You know, people aren't going to act the same as they do where I'm at 24/7. And which motivates me even more to build my brand even bigger, to be able to affect people from communities that I'm not even a part of yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. I was one of the questions kind of, and I've been kind of in the same situation. I mean, CrossFit is fairly new, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the craze goes, mm-hmm. and that's the same with mixed martial arts. It's been about 20 some odd years. So we're at like the very beginnings of something where, you know, someone like yourself, the way you described it, it was a passion project, something that made you feel good, and it turned into a business, it turned into a lifestyle, et cetera. But now the next phase of things is the next generation, these young girls and young boys who are, they want to grow up and be a Brooke Entz and you know, make that a goal as a little kid, while it wasn't really a thing that we could envision at mm-hmm. that point for us. So it's kind of cool the way the world is changing and how, you know, I know that I just met Jerry Rice yesterday at a mm-hmm. golf tournament, and that was my dude. Like, I love football. It was the Niners. It was, you know, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, you know, Roger Craig, Rathman, all these guys. Those are my role models, and meeting him was friggin' awesome. But to be in that situation off doing something that's our passion is really cool. And I figured your story was probably similar, but
yeah,
it, we know, and you can probably say yay or nay to this, but I mean, the thing's changing. Now you have kids that are starting as CrossFit, you know, envisioned athletes and professions and wanting to do that, right?
Yeah, and honestly, I'm having to become more, this is going to be really funny, I'm having to become more okay with that, because to me, I think it's so important for kids up to a certain age to play all kinds of sports and do all kinds of activity. And the amount of people that, like the percentage of people that actually become really good at CrossFit is so small,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think though, if you can teach a kid, you know, positivity and positive self-talk and how to be motivated and to try all sorts of things, because if you're an athlete, you will be good at CrossFit. CrossFit has all these things, you know, that we actually don't, I would say we don't learn them in CrossFit, but we can continually develop them, like speed, power, explosiveness. Like, these are all things I learned from, I was a dancer, I swam the swim team, I did gymnastics, I played soccer, I played softball. You do all these sports where at a young age, you're learning your body, you're learning how to move it, and that's where you learn to be athletic.
Right.
So when you start doing a sport like CrossFit, you have really great body awareness, you know, and I do see a lot of kids that are choosing to make CrossFit their sport. I think that is really cool. But even when I talk to them, I have a lot of kids that come up to me and talk to me all the time. I'm like, that's really cool. Keep doing it. But play some sports, too. Like, yeah. Have fun. You know, like, I've been doing it X, Y, and Z amount of years, and it's not something you can do for a really long time, whether it's you start too young and you're burnt out before you're even old enough to be a professional at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's you kind of see that in, you know, Olympic lifting in places like China, where they'll pull the kids out at super young, like 5 years old or whatever, that show a little talent, and then they're like burned out by the time they're 20.
Oh, that happens in everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of times the parenting, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, my buddy Dave Shapiro ran Positive Coaching Alliance, and mm-hmm. they would like focus in on those crazy parents that are like yelling at the refs,
the dance moms,
getting mad, yeah, like that kind of thing, or the pageant moms and stuff like that. Yeah, like it's the same gig. But I think it's, you'll have it at every level. There's people that are doing it right, and there are people doing it wrong. And for those, I mean, what you don't want to do is, you know, knock a person down. I know on our team in particular, because mixed martial arts is separate, it's like, it's a very individual thing. Someone else doesn't decide if you're going to make it or not. It has to be you.
Yep.
And so we get guys that come in that it's very, very obvious to me that aren't going to make it in their career. But I'm not going to be over there and be like, hey, bro, listen, there's no fucking chance, dude. Just go home. You know, you don't do that. You don't crush someone's dreams. You may be surprised, et cetera. And on the same level, you know, somebody that's starting to do CrossFit, and you know that they're not going to be professional or whatever it is, it's all just this feather and cap, the cap mentality. Like, you know, maybe your goal is to be a world champion. Maybe it's to have one competition. Maybe it's to place. I mean, everyone has their different goals, etc. So it's cool that people are just drawing, you know, from the sport in general and throwing their name in the hat, and the champions are going to be champions.
I mean, that's going to happen. I think it's a matter, too, of, like, if you, as a coach, or like as me, when I'm coaching, or if I'm just having a conversation with someone who's wondering, right, like, what should I do if I want this? What should I do if I do this? One of the first things I talk to him about is just being realistic, you know, right. Like, and be realistic, because in something like this, there's a lot of bad stuff that can happen, right? Like, you can get injured, you know, and so to always, like, have a very, very realistic goal. That doesn't mean you can't work towards what, like, a big goal would be, but make sure you're not, you know, laser focusing so much. Even me, I want to live. I travel a lot. When I first started, like, I guess, you know, getting sponsors and things like that, like, when they asked me to go somewhere, if I wanted to go somewhere, I was like, fuck yeah. Like, when am I going to go to Hawaii for free? I've been to Hawaii one time. I did a competition there. And it was so funny because I'd never been. I took my mom with me, and every day we were there, we had competition. It was a one-day competition. I ended up winning, but I was the one that partied the hardest. Like, I wanted to do everything, you know? And sometimes, like, if you work hard, you're going to meet your goals, but don't forget about all the shit that's happening on the way. Because I do see a lot of people in classes that come and, you know, they're focusing so much on something that we see as coaches, like, isn't probably going to happen. So you've got to find a nice way to, like, get them excited about living.
Yeah, you know? that's the whole thing with our team, and that's part of what's made our team unique. And I don't know if you know much about our team, but our team is one of the top teams on the planet, and we're known for just enjoying the journey, having fun, doing things that, I mean, it's a tough life fighting people every day and training.
I can imagine.
You're in there with 40 other guys, and there can only be one best guy in the world, let alone in the room. So it's a battle as far as that goes, but you have to be having fun. I mean, there's no reason to do any of this without having fun. And I know, like, Chad, I talked about, Chad Mendez is one of my teammates. He's, you know, been in a couple title fights, you know, came short, but, you know, one of the top fighters on the planet. And he had a time where he wasn't having fun in the sport, and he was going through some other things also. But I remember I just telling him, like, look, dude, you know, what are the things that you want to do? You know, he's the things that he loved to do, and he was just using that as kind of a bridge to get him to the things he wanted to do, and then he found the love for it again and everything else. But, yeah, you got to have fun doing this stuff. If, you know, goals should all, you know, lead towards happiness and fun and having a good time, because just working hard is not a good life.
it's the same on the entrepreneur side of the fence. I mean, you know, I could literally work. I mean, you guys are in the same boat. We could work 24/7, never see our significant others, any of that type of stuff. And it just ends up being miserable if you're, like, in the office typing away at 11 p.m. and then you, like, realize you're like, oh, I'm going to go to home and go to sleep and, like, wake up at 6 and train and come back to work. You know, like, that's going to become my whole life. And, you know, we happen to obviously love what we do on a, you know, day job type stuff, but there's still, I mean, you know, there's like chores you have to do, like financial spreadsheets and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I'm not in business to be, like, making Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah. You know, Greg, why, just cause this is our kind of our first podcast anyway. So why don't we get a little intro of basically your role of the leadership and founder of Trifecta and what that looks like. And then kind of your history also with entrepreneurship and fitness and community and everything, because, you know, this is for the folks to know.
Episode one.
Yeah. Episode one.
Yep.
Brooke Ents, don't know it.
So, yeah, I mean, backstory stuff, you know, just like you guys got into, you know, fitness and sports kind of early on, was always super entrepreneurial, was, you know, slinging baseball cards and Boy Scout pancake breakfast tickets and all that stuff. Like, I was always, you know, outselling something, and ended up in college, you know, starting a web design firm when the internet was first coming out. And, you know, everybody were like, Yeah, it's definitely giving away my age. But, you know, it was, you know, all these business owners were like, no, the internet's going to, you know, it's not going to be big. I still believe in advertising and the yellow pages and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, this internet thing, it's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
So, I mean, obviously the rest is history. But
have you seen that commercial they do about the two announcers? It's the, I forget the guy's name, but it was a Super Bowl commercial. And they were kind of talking about the internet, like, oh, yeah, maybe the internet. I think you can do an email or, you know, they're trying to figure that out.
Like what you can do on it. Yeah,
yeah, it's, I mean, crazy. Even times have changed.
Yeah, I mean, even the stuff like Mark Cuban, who we all know, like famous entrepreneur, like he made his money like streaming video on the internet. Now, clearly YouTube and Vimeo and all these platforms do that. But that was like, you know, it was crazy shit, you know, back in the day. So yeah, that led me to Silicon Valley. So lived in San Francisco for, you know, about 10 years, co-founded a couple software companies, you know, one of which got acquired in May of 2010, and moved into what I was personally passionate about, which was, you know, kind of the food and beverage and, fitness space. You know, obviously not to the same level as you guys, although I did do some jiu-jitsu for a while there in college, and nice. I have trained CrossFit for quite some time. I went to a local competition once when I was first getting into it and realized that I was never going to make it to regionals of the games.
Right, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are correct.
Yeah, exactly. So I was...
You chose a different path.
I was absolutely correct that was not going to happen to me. And I was like, oh, I'll just wait for Masters. And then I looked at the Masters people and I was like, oh, I'm never doing the CrossFit games. So, you know, do love training and stuff still though. And, you know, with entrepreneurship, found myself super busy, you know, especially in the startup space. You end up with a lot of late night, you know, pizzas coming in and, you know, beer and whatever it is to keep the team happy. And had started doing a lot of meal prep, but it was just a massive pain in the ass. And we, you know, we had partnered with the Paleo diet, which, you know, around 2014 was, you know, one of the bigger diets out there. And, you know, with the partnership with them, ended up, you know, launching Trifecta. We had like a couple meal plans to start. And it just absolutely took off. You know, we talk about it a bit, but we're now a little over 22 months old. We've grown, you know, over 23,000% now. You know,
it's crazy.
It's wild. We're probably top 20 fastest growing companies in the country. You know, definitely in Sacramento, which is pretty wild.
I mean, some of the cool stuff, and I've in the short time that we've, you know, been working together with things, this thing has blown up on a bunch of different levels, not only with the CrossFit. We're working on, you know, with the NFL, the Olympics, the UFC. Like, talk a little bit about how you get that done, because, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, it's not like – I mean, I'm sure those are all deals that a lot of people in a lot of different spaces would like to get. Like, how have you been able to make that happen?
I mean, it's really, I don't want to give away our secret sauce. No, it's a lot easier than people think. It's just, you know, talking to people for the most part. People ask, you know, oh, how'd you get in? I mean, even getting in touch with both of you, you know, I met, Tommy briefly at one of the CrossFit games. I ended up shooting him a Facebook message and was like, yeah, we've been following Brooke. You know, she doesn't seem to be partnered with anybody on meal prep. Could you, you know, send out an email and link us up, you know, with you, I can't. Oh, it was Mark Haney.
Haney.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Exactly. So one of our investors, Mark Haney, happened to know Uriah, and I had gone to a few entrepreneur things, and he said, you know, oh, Uriah's doing a, you know, a shadow boxing thing for CEOs, and I was like, oh, that'd be sweet. I can go out and embarrass myself. So, you know, went and you know, did the shadow boxing, and then we started talking about business stuff, and you know, one thing led to another, and really that's been, you know, big key to our success is I've just at this point met a lot of people in a huge number of spaces. And one of the things we're working on with the U.S. Olympic teams, but, you know, especially USA weightlifting, is most of the coaches, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, you know, CrossFit, you know, I think one of the head trainers for the UFC at the, you know, the new headquarters, they're all USA weightlifting certified, or they've got, you know, a CrossFit level one certification, or, you know, whatever it is. They all share the kind of strength training background. And once, you know, I started getting connected with the, you know, the CEOs of the different sports, it was like, you know, we pretty much spread like a virus and, you know, just asked, oh, can you...
That could be your fight name, Greg the Virus.
Yeah. my one fight, I go 0-1 and it's getting knocked out in the first 3 minutes. So yeah, I mean, with obviously with you, you brought me out to UFC corporate headquarters, started talking to Forrest Griffin. He introduced us to, you know, the right people over at the UFC, and now we're, you know, close to closing the deal over there. You know, with CrossFit, got an intro from the homie Ryan Schultz over at Romwad to Mason, you know, who's running the sponsorships, and you know, one thing led to another, and yeah, and we ended up title sponsoring, you know, the CrossFit Games. So, you know, now we're feeding everybody at the, you know, the regionals and the games. You know, we're even looks like going to feed the Rogue team as well. So, you know, it's going to be like 30,000 meals in 5 days, which I'm dreading because that's a shitload of food.
That's a lot of food.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of food. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, that's really been, you know,
that's been it.
Is I just am good at
seeing an opening and you go for it.
Well, I think
it helps also. It's you're with like-minded folks and you understand business and what the product is real, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not selling bullshit. I mean, it's literally whole food, which, you know, everybody is like, oh, I get the value of that. That's something that I already am eating. It saves me time, et cetera. And then, you know, I think a lot of business owners are just like intimidated to approach people like you guys. And I've just been, you know, doing it for long enough that, you know, it's like second nature at this point. And we've got, I don't know, like 130 athletes maybe on the squad. Wow. Now a bunch of NFL players are signing on board. We're talking to most of the major agencies, you know, WME as well. So yeah it's just
William
been
Morris.
Yeah, been kind of a hurricane, so trying to
that's awesome
trying to get the Rock on board. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Coming for you, Dwayne.
Come on, Dwayne. Brad, our boy Brad, can help out with that.
Yep, exactly. So
and are you do some business stuff as well? As far as, I mean, obviously you are a business in your own right as a brand, but did you say there was a clothing line too?
Eventually, hopefully. I'm signed with Noble actually for shoes and clothing. Yeah.
For shoes?
Yeah, shoes and
they do special CrossFit
apparel.
Shoes?
Yeah, they're trainers.
Yeah, and they do nice. They do Olympic lifting shoes as
and
well.
They do Olympic lifters
and they're sick. I do like their shoes. They have good
stuff.
They're
nice. They're very clean. Yeah. And I'm going to be and I'll be honest and they know I'm honest. A trainer is a trainer, okay? Feet don't change that much. So it's all about comfort, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a pair of Nikes at my house that are still there that I need to get rid of. I have a bunch of Nanos that I've worn. And the biggest difference with the Noble trainer versus the other brands was literally just that I could wear it all day. I could coach in it all day. I could stand in it. And I have super temperamental feet.
Mm-hmm.
So my feet get sore and they are very comfortable from the moment you put them on. You don't have to break them in. They're comfortable from day one. And that's kind of been what I've heard, too, from a lot of people that have tried them out. They're like, oh, my feet, they just feel good on your feet.
Nice.
You know, and if they feel good and you can train in them, buy a pair.
She's like,
now.
Hey, guys.
Noble.com.
No. Brookhands.com.
Nice.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm getting more into the business thing, you know, and I've always been the type of person that I look ahead. I like to see what I'm going to be doing 5-10 years from now. I don't, you know, I'm not, even with like sponsors and stuff, like I don't really necessarily care what you can give me right now or today. I want to know like, what do you see me doing down the road and how are you going to help me get there? And hopefully all of their view of my future is much bigger than what I have in mind for myself. So, yeah.
Nice.
Now, what gym do you train of back home out of?
I'm in Santa Cruz, California, and I train at CrossFit headquarters, but I do train at CrossFit West Santa Cruz. It's right in town there. And
would you ever want to do your own gym, you think? Is that something that
I would partner with someone on it?
Yeah.
I would absolutely open a gym. And in fact, I have this vision of opening a massive gym in San Francisco and connecting it with like a killer coffee shop. I love coffee. I love coffee culture.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of having sort of like a corner building where down one side is where you enter the gym, other side is where you're in the coffee shop. There's a doorway to enter from the coffee shop into the gym.
You're going to love my gym.
I can't
wait. Describing my gym.
You know, and have all the things that like really nice fitness facilities have, saunas, you know, really great locker rooms. What's nice about CrossFit gyms, what a lot of us like, is if it's gritty, you know, and it's like it's kind of grungy, and we like that. But I also think a lot of people love to go somewhere where it's clean and it's upscale and it's nice. And, you know, you can go to the ladies' room and get in the sauna and relax and, you know, have a coffee next door, or where they might do like protein shakes too. And there's a lot of CrossFit gyms out there, and you have to have funding, you know. So like that's like that would be a big goal for me, to be able to connect with like all my favorite coaches that I know would run an amazing gym, and a gym manager. I already have one lined up. He's ready to go. And one day when I'm ready to go.
So for all you investors, please
also
email.
BrookEnds.com.
No. BrookEnds.com. Brooke at BrookEnds.com. But
that
yeah,
awesome.
So one day, but
yeah.
I like to dabble in a lot of things, but I would not want to run a facility.
Have you ever read the book, The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just real easy to read, but it has some like basic common sense things that you're like, oh, yeah, you know. But one of the biggest things is, if you're not first, be different. What would be some ways, maybe don't put out all the secrets, but if you could think of a way to make your gym a little bit different in the CrossFit space, what would it be? Would it just be clean, because most of them are grungy? I don't know. I haven't been to many gyms.
Don't tell him he's going to copy it into his gym.
So what was it you thought again exactly?
You know, I think that I don't pay attention to a lot of the gyms that are out there. There are a lot. They are growing very fast. But I do think there is value in having some different types of fitness and classes within the building, instead of just having CrossFit. Gotcha. Some people might hate me for saying that.
She's again describing my gym.
Little do you know, I've just been looking at the gym and planning.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah, I think that it would be great to have some sort of like a kitchen. Someone on staff where people could kind of have like trifecta, right? Like I could go to my gym and I could go there and there's somewhere where I can get food right there. If I'm coming before I go to work, I can get my breakfast, I can go to work and grab my lunch, shower, hang out, do homework, you know, take a class. Maybe you want to do more of like, you want to do yoga or you want to do Pilates, and like, you know, they have Ramad, they have all these programs, and in a CrossFit gym, and even in my own programming, I have the hardest time doing recovery or like mobilizing, because I have so much to do that takes a lot of time and I'm exhausted, right? So like the last thing I want to do is mobilize. I just want to go home. But I do spend a lot of time in the CrossFit gym because of the community, because I have a lot of work to do there. So to just be able to have more things there that people value but maybe can't always afford separate from something else, right?
Gotcha,
like that's why people like, you know, 24-hour fitness or like these fitness, because they get a lot,
right.
But what they don't get is a coach, what they don't get is a program, what they don't get is the community. You're there by yourself. So to be able to sort of bring some of like the luxury stuff to an affiliate
would be different.
Best of all worlds.
Yeah.
Plus you'd have a famous actress / world champ fitness woman in there. That's different. There's only one of you.
Yep.
So
there is only one of
with
me.
Your name on there.
Yeah, no, that is a big piece. And yeah, I think that for a lot of people, the coach element is huge. Like when I first started doing CrossFit, I had been doing fitness for years. And
yeah.
I was like, I know how to bench press. And, da, 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 and I went in there and they were like, you're doing it wrong. Like you're totally going to injure yourself. That's why you keep fucking up your shoulder. So yeah, I think that training aspect is absolutely critical. And I mean, do you guys have coaches
I know you do
for the MMA stuff, but
no, yeah, all over. I mean, we have exactly that. So I had an opportunity to build a relationship with Mark Mastrov and Jim Rolley and Adam Sedlock. These are all guys that were like the gurus of the fitness world from a business standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so 24-hour fitness, Crunch Gyms, you know, they started, Mastrov started 24-hour fitness, sold it, and now he's got, you know, Hard Candy with Madonna, and he's got, you know, Nash's Gyms out wherever Nash is at, and he's got, you know, now he owns
the VC firm.
Yeah, the
that,
UFC
yeah.
gyms are all his. I mean, he owns the brand for the UFC gym, etc. So, you know, our personal training is a big part of the business. The unique side of my gym is, I mean, there's a lot of unique sides of it, but it's basically, you know, first and foremost, it's based on mixed martial arts. The culture is mixed martial arts. We house the best team on the planet with where they work in, you know, in the same space as general folks. But then we offer all sorts of other cool stuff. We have CrossFit. We have TRX. We have yoga. We have Pilates. We have Zumba. We have, you know, cardio kickboxing. And then we have the traditional martial arts like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and wrestling and Muay Thai kickboxing, then the blending of it all. So
I actually was going to ask you about that. How, I know, didn't you guys like win best team? Like,
yeah.
Like, how is that ranked? Is that by how many wins you guys have on the
team? Well, I mean,
judges or?
Well, that's all based on the MMA awards, and I'm not sure how they do it. I think they have a panel of judges and they take votes from the public also. But as far as building talent from the ground up, I mean, it's very hard to find somebody that has done as much and as little time with homegrown talent as we have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of one of the things that, you know, helped win us the best team on the planet award. But I think the coolest thing, and just like Brooke was talking about with, you know, the difference between a 24-hour fitness and a gym that is, you know, has a community is that culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in business, you know, and it's funny because we were talking about, you know, when we get this next fund of funding in for the team, you're like, we're going to do all sorts of cool stuff for the culture, for the team culture. We're going to be throwing pool parties and doing, you know.
And we just had our first big pool party last Friday.
Oh, thanks for the invite, man.
It was a rough one. You were hog hunting in Texas or something right. like that. Yeah,
that's right. So, but anyways, you know, I think that culture of our team has been in a fight world. Has been something that comes from leadership. I mean, we don't allow bullying. We make sure that, you know, we're not one person's not trying to take all the credit. We're you know, uplifting and making sure the environment's fun and doing cool things on the outside. So I think, in my opinion, that mentality is what has made our team the best team in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
It's like in the community aspect is, I would say, why CrossFit's done so well and why it will continue to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard so many people be like, oh, it's, you know, it's a fad. It's going to stop. And they're going to, you know, it's going to plateau.
They
and
said
it's like,
that about rap music.
You know, but like people go there for so much more than a workout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a community thing. And just relationships with people. A lot of, you know, even like, people that are a little bit older, or maybe they're single, or wherever you are in your life, maybe you don't have people you can really connect with at home. It becomes an escape. It becomes somewhere where you can, like, you know, let go of things or deal with stress or have someone to talk to or have someone to literally just hang out with you and not have to talk to you about something that maybe everywhere else is talking to you about. It's very healthy. It's a very healthy community, and it allows a lot of people to flourish in their life and become the better person maybe they've always wanted to be but didn't realize they could. And it's just by being around good people that all have a really common goal, and you're all working hard for something and living a healthy lifestyle and partying. You know, CrossFitters party hard and they train hard.
It is actually amazing how much they party. Like the box that I was going to in Long Beach before I moved up here and started home gym, and I had like two sets of friends, like my, like, you know, regular friends that I was friends with outside of the box, and then there was like my box friends, and we would, you know, go out and get drunk and, you know, do dinners and all that type of stuff together. It was like completely disparate backgrounds amongst everybody. You know, there are people hanging out that were 55 and people that were, you know, 21, but it was still, yeah, it was kind of wild to have.
You
that
don't
whole...
even know each other's age really in a CrossFit gym, unless it's like you can literally tell someone's either a total senior citizen or it's like 12.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally. You
know, like my best friend, she's 47.
I need to get invited to one of these parties.
Yeah.
I'm missing out.
Your eyes.
We do a little party in our.
He's turning 21 this year, so he'll finally be able to drink.
About time.
Nice. So yeah, we've been going for a hot minute. I mean, how are we doing on time, guys?
An hour.
I think that's, yeah. I do want to get some footage with Brooke and Ryan and everything, training and stuff. So, okay, cool. Well, we will wrap it up here. Episode 1 of the Trifecta Podcast. We'll come up with a good name for it after.
Yeah, we'll come up with some names.
Yeah. So thank you guys for checking it out. And you can download it both on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Thanks,
and if
guys.
You see it, let us know who else you'd like to see as a guest on this show. We've got connections everywhere, thanks to this guy's mouthpiece and the folks we know. So NFL, movies, the fight world, you let us know. We'll get him here.
Yep. Love it. All right. Thanks, guys. Coming back for episode 2.